Welcome to the Mindful Sports Podcast. I'm Coach Sam.
Mindful Sports, teaching mindfulness and sports together.
Today, we're joined by Dr. Joni Teresi, who's going to be talking to us about children's experience in their daily life with mindfulness. Dr. Joni Teresi has a PhD in mind-body medicine and recently completed her dissertation studying children's daily experience in their lives with mindfulness. Dr. Teresi, thanks so much for joining us today.
Thank you for having me.
Dr. Teresi, I'd love for you to start just by telling our listeners a little bit about your experience with mindfulness and teaching mindfulness to children.
Of course. I started teaching mindfulness to children shortly after I went on my first meditation retreat myself. I came back, I was an elementary school librarian, and immediately felt that the value that I had gained in that week on my own retreat would be something that could be applicable for the children, or that I wished I had myself when I was a child. So I started interweaving little bits of mindfulness into the elementary school library visit. And shortly thereafter, I did a training with the organization Mindful Schools and started teaching the skills more and more in the library, integrated with stories and research skills and checking out books. And I fell in love with the process of teaching mindfulness. It felt like I really bonded with my students more when we were learning these skills together than when we were learning research skills together. And I could perceive that they really appreciated it and felt value in it. And I could see them using it in the library as well. And it was just meaningful, incredibly meaningful work for me.
Wow. So what would that entail when you were teaching mindfulness in a library setting to elementary school children? Did you have curriculum from the school? Did you put together your own work? How long were the sessions? I'm curious how that process unfolded for you and for the kids.
Yeah, it was different with different ages at different times. And I worked in a couple of different schools. So it did look a few different ways. At first, it was just a few little moments of mindfulness. So I had a little chime and I'd ring it and ask them to listen to the end of the chime and then raise a hand. We would take a few breaths together. Once I did the training, I started to incorporate into a 45 or so minute library period. I might teach a mindfulness class for about 15 minutes and then do a library lesson for about 15 minutes and then do a checkout period for about 15 minutes. Break it down like that. Another school I worked in, I would do the little bits of mindfulness with the classes as they came into the library, but I taught the lessons separately to a few classes, sort of on my own. I guess I'd call it free time, but it wasn't free, as I would teach them, and I involved parent volunteers. So I started to teach the mindfulness to the parents as well. They got really passionate about it. And then they would also do the introductory training with Mindful Schools. And we would use the Mindful Schools curriculum when I was using a curriculum. The first school I was at also had a middle school. And one day the middle school art teacher invited me in to start the curriculum with her students as well. So there were different ways in different places. I would also work with parents, as I said, and I would work with teachers at different times. Sort of a whole community approach to bringing the mindfulness in.
I love that. That sounds incredibly holistic and inclusive. I'm curious about the beginning part of the process when you would work with kids and you would first meet them. How would you introduce mindfulness? What would that initial lesson or few lessons be like as you were bringing children into that experience or facilitating that experience with them?
I appreciate the question. The easy answer is the curriculum has an introductory lesson, right? So I would often follow the curriculum pretty closely with my own adaptations. And the early lessons are very basic. It is that thing that I imagined I had created myself, but with no ego. I was really delighted to find the first lesson of the Mindful Schools curriculum also had, they just updated it, but at the time I had definitely that bell ringing exercise at the beginning there, and really basic just feeling the body breathing. So even like, oh, just knowing that we're breathing. And then when you say introductory, the thing that came to my mind was how busy and chaotic the school environment, the in-school environment, things are a little different at the moment, but the in-school environment that I was teaching in. So I would have taught, you know, 12 lessons and then we'd land a new child in the classroom. And so introductory lesson for that child would be lesson 12. And hey, we're going to sit down. Let's try some experiments. That's usually what I say with anyone is let's experiment with this, because a curriculum, the way I see it, is a set of 15, 20 different skills for paying attention and focusing in different ways. And any given human, child or adult, I think will resonate with certain skills and not with others. Some kids might really love just listening to the sounds around them and focusing on that as an anchor to really bring them into a moment, whereas they'll never find their breath. Other kids will have their hand on their belly, you know, someone else will have their hand on their heart and just really feel that connection with the heart. And so, I can see one specific four-year-old very, you know, insistent that he wasn't even going to breathe. He came in saying, "I'm Batman and you can't make me do anything." And he said, "You can't make me breathe." And I said, "Okay, I can't," you know, and gently, welcomed him into the activity with us, but the rest of the children were on a totally different page. Likewise in the school environment, even if I was consistent, visiting a classroom, let's say in another school, teaching the mindfulness, you know, there's always a kid who's pulled out for speech and a kid who's pulled out for this and pulled out for that. So keeping in mind that we're all on different pages, which is true, even not in the school environment, even if everyone's there, we're all on different pages. So, yeah.
That's an astute reflection on the complexities of children's learning. And it sounds like, of course, that you bring that awareness and an open space with those kids and all of their different needs when you're bringing this material and facilitating it with them. Did you find that there were any games that were helpful or activities that you would engage with the children when you were teaching them mindfulness? Or was it more delivering a lesson in a traditional academic sense of, you know, here's what we're doing today and now we're kind of participating together? I'd just love to hear whatever comes up for you when you think about the nuts and bolts of the activities in general that you were using when you were teaching mindfulness to these children.
Yeah. So I would say that much of it is game-based, or if it isn't quite game-based, I would call it a game. We're going to play a game now, right? And suddenly it's a game because we could join in that together. I'd say definitely with the younger kids. So in the school where I worked with four-year-olds, there was a lot of imagination involved, a lot of sing-songiness. I would not identify myself as someone who sings a lot, you know, among adults, but I would find myself being very sing-songy with the younger kids. There are several games I would play with the older kids. As a matter of fact, when I finished that year-long training with Mindful Schools, they put together a booklet of the games that we had all come up with, each of us as we were teaching, so our own creativity into the mix. And I used a lot of those games. That's the first book I would turn to if I needed a new game. And then there was something else. Oh, the way that I loved teaching most was using the games, but actually I think the best way that the children learned was from each other. So I would always ask them, how did you use your mindfulness since I saw you last? And just hearing the really creative ways. I think in the whole time I would give the curriculum, the only suggestion I would give would be maybe like feeling your breath when you're a little bit upset or when you're trying to fall asleep. And I think I gave that suggestion one time. And other than that, I really loved hearing what they had to say, because I could talk till I was blue in the face about suggestions that I thought were great about when the kids could use some mindfulness. But their suggestions were so much richer. And I really believed that the ways that they were using it were more inspiring for them and more relevant to their childhood lives, and they had more in common with each other. And I kind of began to feel like the lesson itself wasn't the lesson. The heart of the lesson was that check-in, that sharing of what are you doing?
When you share with us about how children were using their mindfulness at home, was that something that was prompted by you in your teaching? Did you assign home practice for them? How was that introduced to them as a concept when you were teaching them in classroom settings?
So in some of the early lessons, we would notice how we were feeling after we tried some of the mindfulness experiments or games together. And the kids would often report feeling calmer, feeling more settled, feeling good. Little ones, good, you know. And I would suggest that they could use this at other times. And rather than assigning it like homework, because I didn't feel that way of like assignment, I would just give the prompt at the end of class. Next week when you come, I'm going to ask this question. I myself am also an introvert, and I also really wanted to set up a situation where if the kids don't feel like sharing, it belongs to them, that's fine. And I wanted to make the space for them to share. So they knew that question was coming week after week. Or I might say in a lesson on mindful eating, you know, next week I'm going to ask, how did you use your mindful eating since I saw you last? So they would have that prompt in their head. And I think knowing that, having that expectation might have stopped them when they were eating something to notice it a little bit more so that they would have something to report. But there was no requirement. There was no requirement to share. There was no requirement to use the mindfulness. I would do surveys at the end of the course for my own understanding of how much they were using the practice. And I didn't use those surveys in my research for my dissertation because of IRB constraints, but the kids would often report that they used it a lot. And often, even if they said they were never going to use it again, a higher percentage of kids said other kids should learn this. So it was usually up in the 90 percentile of perceiving value in the practice.
You're sharing with us now about what children shared with you on their use of mindfulness in their daily lives. That is the subject of your recently completed dissertation. Mm-hmm. I would love to hear whatever comes up for you as you look back on this incredible piece of work that you've put together. And of course, summing up a multiple year project is not an easy endeavor. But I'd love to just hear a couple of takeaways that you feel strongly about from putting together this piece of incredible work, examining children's experience with mindfulness in their daily lives.
Yeah, thank you for that. So that question that I talked about before of how did you use your mindfulness in the last week since I saw you last, I asked that year after year, and I would write down their answers because I was so inspired by what they were saying. And I used it as a benchmark in my own teaching notes as to how I was doing as a teacher. Was this landing with my students, my own reflective process? And so the subject matter for my dissertation was the words I had in my teaching notes, not the children themselves. So I didn't interview children and therefore couldn't go in more depth of asking them, how much did this impact your life? But I had 1,136 quotations that I used for the purpose of this dissertation itself. And I read through them many, many times. And my study is a hermeneutic phenomenological analysis, which means I delved into the lived experience using the text of my notes as the evidence, the reference point to see how our children using their mindfulness. And so to me, this felt a lot like we have a lot of qualitative research out there, numbers, percentages of how is it affecting children academically? What are the report, the behavioral reports from the school professionals and parents? And my sort of underlying question was, what value do the children find in this? So an analogy I liked to think about as I was going along was, if a medicine is effective, that's great. And will people take it? Because if it's 100% effective, but nobody will take it, then it's not going to help as many people. So getting a lens into the children's experience is pretty rare in this broad of a scope. So I don't know how many speakers there were of my 1,136 quotations, because it could have been, you know, in one class, there was a kid who responded quite a bit. And they were in multiple schools because I worked in multiple locations at the time. But the essences, I came down to 8 essences of how the children or in what situations they used their mindfulness the most. And those 8 essences are staying with an experience, navigating the way through the challenges, managing the interactions and relational portions of their world, returning to baseline emotionally, filling the self up, that's a more of a like confidence-based one. Thriving in the trappedness of childhood. Children don't have as much agency as adults do, and they have to navigate that. And so that felt particular to childhood. Caring, and something I called blossoming, which was sort of growing. And all of these 8 essences to me also pointed to value. I could have asked that question and probably would have stopped asking it if nobody raised their hand to share something. So I could see and hear how much value the practice had for the children. There's one child I can see who was a kid who would leave the classroom a lot. I ran out of the school several times, had a lot of the school's attention on him. And one morning, everyone in the school was looking for him, and he had run to the library and he said, "I need help. I need help with my anger. Will you do mindfulness with me?" And that to me was one of the crowning moments. I didn't, you know, the child needed a lot more help than I could provide. But in that moment, I could provide what he was asking of me. And he perceived that that was a safe place to go. And that mattered so much to me.
Thank you for sharing all of that, and especially the list. As always, children have an incredible way of reminding all of us where we are and where we can go. It sounds like a wonderful compilation of how we can use mindfulness, how children can use mindfulness, and what it is that they need. Dr. Terese, do you have any projects that you're working on or anywhere that you can direct our listeners? I know you've mentioned a meditation that may be available, but if you have any material that you'd like to share or can direct people to, we'd love to hear it.
Yeah, I have, I've started putting some meditation recordings on Insight Timer. So that would be under my name,
Insight Timer, sorry to interrupt you. Is that an app or a website? Where can we go to find that?
Yeah, that's an app. It's a free app to download, and it has thousands and thousands of meditations, guided meditations on it, including several for children. The one I have up so far is not for children, but I do have plans to record more. I have a website that is breathetolearn.com. I have not yet updated it with my dissertation work, but you will be able to find that there. That's for the children's side of the work that I'm doing. I also do work with adults. As I mentioned, I work with parents and teachers, and I have a variety of other skills outside of mindfulness as well. And so that website is www.nurtureandthrive.org. And both of those I will keep updated with my mind-body medicine adventures now that I've completed my degree.
Fantastic. Dr. Joni Terese, thank you so much for joining us on the Mindful Sports Podcast, and thank you for sharing your expertise with us.
Thank you for having me.